Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings, you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You will also come to see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight is an exciting show for me because not only do I have a wonderfully amazing guest who has an amazing story, she's a powerful and successful entrepreneur. Her name is Darlene Andi, but I also am going to be guest on the show, too. And just to tell you a little bit about it, Darlene is a published author, a speaker, and she's best known for her gift as being an intuitive connector. She has 25 years of entrepreneurial experience, and she delivers impactful and insightful knowledge to those who are ready for their true transformation. After coming through a recent 3-year dark night of the soul experience, Darlene delivers a real and raw message with teachings that will accelerate your life path and shift your very way of being. Darlene is about empowering women and inspiring them to flourish into their authentic selves and knowing who they are. As for me, I'm an author and host of Different Strokes for Different Folks, the show you're listening to, and I'm also the founder of FreeSpiritBroadcasting.com. I'm a retired social worker. I'm also recovered from many addictions, totally recovered. Along with Darlene, I'm an expert in anti-aging and creating life transformation. I'm a spirit life coach and an addiction sponsor of nearly 3 decades. I also can regress people to previous lifetimes in order to overcome current life problems with channeled spirit as my guide. I'm an empath, an intuitive, and a seer of infinite spiritual realities, and I'm a healer, especially of emotional, mental, and spiritual realms. So with that said, I'd like to introduce my other guest, Darlene Andi. Darlene, welcome, and how are you tonight?
Well, I am fabulous, David. It's such a pleasure and an honor to be here with you.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you. I've been looking forward to this show. And we actually have 2 callers on the line. I'm familiar with both of them. One is a fan, and the other is a caller named Patricia. And I'm not sure if she's called in before, but she had requested a psychic reading. And I offered her a brief past life regression later in the show. I'm not sure if you would feel confident of doing an intuitive reading on her. If so, we can do that. The other is a fan by the name of Diana. And so I will invite them both onto the show at a later point in time, if that's okay with you. And if you have any comment on what I just said, I would welcome it.
Well, I look forward to hearing about the past life regression process you'll be doing with one of the ladies, David. So that's definitely something that I would be thrilled to be a part of later on in the show.
Beautiful. Well, for those that are listening, either in the caller queue or on your telephones or on the internet, if you want to call in and speak to either of us, you must call the 646-727-3116 number and press 1, and you will go into the caller queue. and we will take callers at the one-hour mark. This is a 90-minute show tonight. It's a special edition show since there are two of us present tonight, and we're going to cover a lot of ground. And the first thing that we're going to do is share our stories of our experience, strength, and hope, and how we've come to transform our lives to inspire you to realize that anything is possible, that miracles do happen, and that you too can transform anything from the dark night of the soul to abject despair to something that is awesome and continuing to flourish on the pathway to joy, freedom, peace, and love, as Darlene and I have done. So Darlene, would you kindly start wherever you'd like to start in your story and share with the audience?
Well, thank you very much, David, again, for giving me the floor and the collective airwaves. And I am thrilled to hear that you have a couple callers already in the queue that are ready to ask questions. So I have no idea what the outreach is going to get to, but all I know is that everything is in divine timing and alignment. And I trust that these words will get to whomever they are meant to get to.
Yes.
So with that, what I would love to do, David, and again, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share a bit of my journey. And what I wanted to do today was actually intertwine my stories with the present, where I'm at, what
yes.
has happened to me in the past, as well as what I foresee happening
yes.
in the future because of me becoming so able to honor each moment.
Yes.
I met a gentleman when I first met. I moved to Kelowna in October 2014. And he was a gentleman that had an experience where he ended up going to India strictly on guidance of Source. He had never been to India. He didn't have the money to get to India. And every place he went, he was told that he was going to get another message of where he was to take the next step. And every time he received the message, that person showed up exactly as they were supposed to. And he ended up in that journey having a very amazing experience with Krishnamurti. And he basically shared with me that he took advantage of moment by moment by moment for us to not allow any experience to take us away from why we are truly here. And so it's definitely where I have learned how to come into my observer self instead of reacting.
Well, that's a wonderful place to be. And pardon the interruption. There was a pause there, and I wondered if you wanted some kind of comment. So please carry on.
So what I have been reflecting on is really realizing that these experiences that I've been having have been allowing me to step into knowing who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Socrates that had made the very amazing statement, know thyself. And of
yes.
course, I'm paraphrasing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something when I realized after going through this very traumatic experience that happened to me about 2.5 years ago, was I totally gave my power away to this woman, to this organization. I felt I was following a dream. And what I didn't understand at that time in my life, David, was that I had put this individual on a pedestal, which immediately had me giving all my power away to this person. And I didn't realize that I was doing that.
Mm.
And what ended up happening was there were so many, I'm going to call them red flags, that came into my life. But I was so in awe of this woman because I felt she was so amazing that I didn't take the red flags as recognition that she was not being in integrity. And so that's where I have really allowed myself in my intuition, really allowing myself to take the time each day, and my intention is to do it in the morning and in the evening, where I am taking those deep breaths into my body and really allowing myself to appreciate how magnificent breathing actually is, you know.
Yes, I hear you. And how often we forget to do that, especially when we're anxious. Uh-huh. And how important it is if we want to stay alive.
Yes, absolutely. So the recognition of myself to really deep breathe and acknowledge my body, like to really get into my body, because I realized, and this is, you know, the experience 2.5 years ago was not the only experience, but that I wasn't really in my body. And I didn't really understand what that was before, because I was living unconsciously.
Right.
But what happened was I met a woman when I was coming back to Canada who allowed me to stay with her, who is a true spiritual being. And she does incredible goddess work and divine feminine retreats in the areas of Tulum, Mexico and Mount Shasta, who was truly someone who was tapped into God, Source, Allah, Muhammad, whatever people want to call that sense of being, and allowed me to recognize what was really taking place within myself instead of being this other part of myself. And what she shared with me is that we really have a table of people that are around us. And I was typically living with the mic handed over to my little girl and to my inner critic who were running my life.
Right.
And there were exercises and experiences that I went through with her where she taught me to start honoring myself and my little girl who was wanting to take control of my life, and that I was reacting most of my life from this inner critic and this little girl who really didn't know how to take care of the adult part of my life and the businesswoman part of my spiritual part of my life. And to take that microphone back and allow myself to start being. And one of the exercises that I started doing for myself, David, was to stand in front of a mirror. Now, initially, it was just a mirror where I could see my face, because I really realized my entire life that I've been adverse to the mirror, because I had hated myself so much because of my upbringing and my childhood that you know, when you're told you're stupid and you're ugly and all these things, I was realizing that I had taken what they were saying as truth. And those were really all lies about who I was, but that was my belief system that I had instilled into myself. And by simply taking the time and having a soul-to-soul connection with my eyes in the mirror and talking to myself, and having that deep connection, because they are the windows to our soul.
Yes.
And telling myself that I loved myself. I cannot even tell you how many times, David, that I brought myself to tears simply.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. Yeah.
Recognizing myself. And what that's led to, David, is actually a further discovery where, you know, it's now the full-length mirror, and I have to say that I'm not 100% comfortable yet with my physical being, my body that I'm in, this meat suit, as I've heard people referred it to. But that is something that I'm definitely stepping more into, my truest self, my most magnificent and divine self. And it's these day-by-day activities that I'm doing for myself that are new practices, where I'm letting go of these belief systems that were once held because I was identifying with events that were happening in my life. So this experience that I had 2.5 years ago with this women's organization that was totally out of integrity with myself, I realized that it was revealing to me this pain and suffering that I was holding on to because I had such a sense of hatred. And that I was identifying with the failure being that I was a failure. And it was such a aha moment for me to realize that, because I was taking that on as my belief system that that's who I was,
mm-hmm.
by simply stopping in that moment and saying enough and shifting my way of being, that I am now, I believe, even recalibrating my brain highway neurons to a new way of being, where I'm stepping into truly who I am and declaring my highest self. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about this, David, where we're declaring now our place and space in this world and having a larger voice. And it's exactly what you're doing with this radio program as an example. You have a message to get out to the masses, and you're choosing this media to get that word out to those who are so wanting to hear that message in that moment.
Well, thank you so much. Well, I'm truly inspired by what you've shared, and I thank you for making yourself vulnerable. And I, too, have done that exercise in the mirror. I was taught that at a mastery class that I went to some 10 years ago, and it is powerful. And I was told to do it for 5 full minutes, and I did it. And what I did in the exercise is I pretended I was looking into the eyes of little David, who so wanted to believe, in love, and who came to literally loathe himself. And I had all kinds of issues myself. I grew up not understanding what it was to be a gay child or even to know what that label meant. And I feared it greatly because everything I'd heard about what were called homosexuals back in the day was negative. They were stereotypes I couldn't relate to. And so I thought, that can't be me. And I swore to God I wouldn't have sex with a boy after the age of 15 because I wanted to be normal, quote-unquote normal. I wanted to marry and have a family, and I eventually did marry. However, I didn't have children, and that created sadness for me. I'd given up on that dream for a long while, and now that I'm 60 and in my second marriage, this time to a man who is really a woman in a man's body, I've rekindled that desire and may indeed choose to do that. I've set an intention, and intentions are powerful, and I hear you talking about intentions. I hear you talking about detachment. I hear you talking about being objective. I hear you talking about reaching for your higher self, and these are all things I've done for myself too. Now, I've heard it said by the great mystic, the Jesuit Anthony de Mello, who lived in India, became a Jesuit, and in essence turned the Catholic Church upside down in his day, because he talked about taking personal responsibility. He did not believe in the notion of hell other than that which we create in this life, which you and I have both done to ourselves because of wrong programming, or should I say programming that was negative, because there is no right or wrong in this life. It is all for the greater good, as I see it. And this is a message of hope I'd like to share with people who think in terms of good or bad, right or wrong, black and white. There's a spectrum. And there is a silver lining to every dark cloud when you can make it through the dark night of the soul and embrace your being and recognize that when you come to love yourself and begin to get to know who you are, embrace the fact that every experience that's come down the pike has been a blessing in disguise, and they've simply been lessons to lead towards illumination if you are willing to do the work, as Darlene and I have done. So anyhow, Anthony de Mello talked about there being just two states, fear and love. And anything that was connected to love was a positive. Anything connected to fear was a negative. So that means that feelings like anger, resentment, hate, even disappointment, these are things that are negatives, and they're based upon fear. And there's no such thing as the fear of God, which was introduced, that concept was introduced back in the Garden of Eden and in the Old Testament of the Bible, whereas Jesus brought to us the message of love, which Anthony DeMello embraces, or embraced. He passed away, I believe, in 1987. He was a young man. He was in his 50s. But, you know, I also later studied A Course in Miracles, which talks about there being two states, and that is ego or spirit. And those are closely aligned with what Anthony DeMello stated, and that is love and fear, because anything of the spirit is love-based. Anything of the ego is fear-based. When we're in our ego place, as I have been in my past, we are in a place of judgment and disconnect from our fellow man and from our true selves. And that is the place that I remained on and off for a long, long time. And I began to free myself from that nearly 30 years ago. I'm 60 now, even though I don't look it. And we're going to talk a little bit about reversing aging through reprogramming DNA and through some amazing technology that's also available that Darlene and I are currently involved with. And for those of you who would like to find a potential way, whether part-time or full-time, to unlock your life potential to prosperity and find a way to lasting financial independence, we can share some of that information with you later on. So anyhow, to make a long story longer, I too found myself, as I said, consumed with self-loathing. And this led me down the pathway to self-destructive behaviors, including suicide attempts, by hanging, by overdosing, by gassing myself. And I haven't had a suicidal thought in 28 years, thank God, nor have I acted upon it. And I experienced profound mental illness for years, and I'm totally free of that. I'm totally free of addiction. I am totally free of heart disease, which I had. I am totally free of lung disease, which I had. Because as Bernie Siegel, who is on my program every 6 months, would say, and he's a prominent cancer surgeon who's written a book called Love, Medicine, and Modern Miracles, which has been a million copy bestseller along with other books. It is we who heal ourselves through faith. Jesus said, woman, when she touched his robe and the disciples were disturbed that she had done so, woman, it's your faith that's healed you. We are all healers. Yes, there are some people who are gifted and can serve as catalysts for healing, but it is the individual's own faith and belief that heals them. And miracles can and do happen at all levels, even in this illusory life that we lead. And I, too, have had out-of-body experiences. I'm a seer of the future. As I mentioned to Patricia, who is still on the line, and we now have three callers, I mentioned to her that I can give readings to people that I know and resonate with. I've never tried it with a stranger, and I would prefer not to try to do that tonight, but I can offer a small past life regression to people if that's something they would desire. I am skilled at doing that, and it's not me that does it. It's spirit working through me. So that's one thing that I do. I have an amazing arsenal of tools which I put to use in my spirit life coaching business or in my sponsoring of people in 12-step programs. And God bless the 12-step programs that were founded on Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe they were God's gift to the 20th century, but even so, I believe they are self-limiting because they talk about things like, and this is a wonderful expression, by the way, and that is acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. However, I say that's limiting. I say acceptance is the answer to all my solutions today. Why introduce a negative? Why be limiting? I would ask people, is the glass half empty or half full? If you say half full, I'd say, you're on the optimistic track, but perhaps you need a larger vessel. the cup is overflowing, and it can get bigger and bigger and bigger as the universe and the universes, because as my and your consciousness expands, so does the consciousness of Source. That's the way it works. Now, today I had an amazing reading, Darlene, by Valerie Sargent, who's been on my show. She's a reader of the Akashic Records. She's a hypnotherapist. She is an intuitive, an empath, and a psychic medium. And she affirmed for me lifetimes that I've discussed with you, among them King David and Queen Victoria. And the surprise lifetime was Cleopatra, that I had been Cleopatra. And I asked her, is everybody a king and queen? Does everybody have a historically significant lifetime? And her answer to me was, every lifetime is significant, but no, not everybody has historically significant lifetimes. Those are not doled out. The souls, our oversouls, choose the lives and the experiences that we need to be challenged with in order to transform and complete our souls, to complete our life journeys. And I wasn't at all disappointed when she said I'd come back again, because I trust that when I come back again, I will have overcome all negative karma and lead a happy and healthy life, as I've been told by another psychic. I've been told I have two lifetimes left, and that both of them are very happy, although one is relatively short and the other is very long. And I intend to be here a long, long time. Even though I'm 60 years old, I do not accept that I'm middle-aged yet. I'm going to live to be at least 150 years old and longer. As I said, for those of you listening, it's possible to change your DNA, both at a biological level and through repairing karma from past lives, because we accumulate DNA not only genetically, but we accumulate that through karma that we've built up from past lives. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we open ourselves to that. And whether or not you believe, there are spiritual laws, and I did not believe in reincarnation until I was 25 and had an amazing out-of-body experience where God revealed that to me. And I, too, find that there are many people who are not comfortable with the word God for whatever reason. And, you know, so I would ask you to choose whatever higher power works for you, as long as it's one that is loving and benevolent and kind and all-powerful. These would be my suggestions to you. It can be goddess, it can be nature, it can be universe, it can be source, it can be whatever you want it to be. All you need to do is believe, and ultimately the quest, as I see it, is to believe in oneself and to thine own self be true, as you were paraphrasing Socrates, and I don't know if that was what he said, but you, I believe, said know thyself. So that's a little bit of my story, and I'm not sure exactly where to go from here, but I trust that it's going to unfold in a delicious manner. I would like to talk a little bit about the power of intention, the power of positivity, the power of manifestation, and the fact that we are not just co-creators, but creators, because we have God in us as we are in God. So would you like to take off on that avenue, Darlene?
Well, I'd absolutely love to, David, and that was a full conversation. There was so many things that you spoke to that were amazing, absolutely amazing, David. So again, thank you for sharing your
My
story
pleasure.
And being vulnerable with us.
My pleasure.
So yes, the power of intention. So that is something that I have to say, and again, David, we have spoke several times about this, how powerful intention is when you declare what is going to happen in your day. So the biggest thing I did for myself was to learn to become a conscious being in this paradigm.
Yes.
And to, when I get up in the morning, to take that time to be thankful,
mm-hmm.
bring so much gratitude in my life for everything
yeah.
that is coming to me, not just the breath, which is so important, but everything that's coming to me, the people that come into my life that maybe I don't have even the best relationship with, but that is obviously there for, again, a reason.
Got it.
I really believe, David, that it's bringing out my sense of humor because of these experiences, because I'm finding that I'm becoming a lot more lighter. And in the beginning, I had to make myself smile because there were times that were I got stuck in revenge and hatred and anger. Fear was wrapped all around that. And once I really started to set the intention to be a happier, lighter person, because I was having a few of my friends really giving me a hard time. It was like, come on, Darwin, like, just crack a smile. And I really didn't realize how stoic I was, and it wasn't who I was. But this outer part of me was presenting a piece that I needed to really take a look at. And
mm-hmm.
it was that shadow work that you spoke of earlier, that it's so easy to look outwardly at everything else that is wrong with the world instead of taking the time to really understand that in every situation I was the common denominator in
right.
my life, and to really take the time and go, okay, Darlene, what's going on within? And the shadow work, there is so much shadow work to do yet, but I have...
Oh, amazing, isn't it, Darlene? The shadow work to be done. And would you please explain what you mean by shadow work to those who don't know what that means?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because this was all new verbiage to me as well. And what shadow, my opinion of what shadow work is the parts of myself that I don't like about myself. And when you spoke earlier about us thinking that there's right and wrong and black and white, and I needed to acknowledge that every piece of me was an important part of me.
Yes.
And once I started acknowledging that I was angry and allowing myself to be angry in that moment,
mm-hmm,
and to
mm-hmm.
release that energy from my body. Now, this is something that I continue to do because I certainly haven't honed this skill set by any means. But I used to dismiss myself. I used to dismiss my feelings and really realize through this journey that I wasn't allowing myself to feel.
Mm-hmm,
I wasn't
right.
allowing myself to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was I was attaching things that, like this experience when I went down to the States, as an example, with this women's organization, I was in such a sense of elation that wasn't real, because I thought that's what I wanted, but it wasn't really what I wanted because I had no sense of myself there.
That's right.
And
how can you know? How can you know what you want without a sense of self? You're only buying into perhaps what other people want for you that you think you should want, or being who you want other people to perceive you to be, or who you think they want you to be, that chameleon effect, that people pleaser thing, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, absolutely. And what happened was, by becoming a true people pleaser, the moment that you start declaring who you are, it doesn't sit very well with these people that you have just taken care
yeah.
of. They have this expectation then when
oh,
you
my.
Show up differently, they don't really know what to do with you. And it put me into situations, David, that, you know, abusive relationships. And again, these were scenarios that kept happening over and over again. And just when I thought that I had the male abusive relationships handled, then I threw in a couple of really powerful women that were abusive. And so that was a whole different dynamic. So I feel I have that gamut covered now. and realized that the reason that I was being overpowered because I wasn't acknowledging my own power, my power within.
May we stop there for just 1 minute and talk about being a victim and freeing oneself from victim mentality and becoming a thriver and coming into our own power so that history does not need to repeat itself. Would you address that, please?
Well, interestingly enough, when I started doing my work with people that were coming to me and offering their gifts, they continually told me, "Darlene, you're a victim. You're a victim. You're a victim." And I didn't feel I was a victim. Now, I was obviously in a sense of denial. But on the other hand, David, I also realized that was because my soul part of myself knew I was powerful. It wasn't recognizing that word as a part of myself.
Yes.
So it's a bit of a oxymoron, but I really realized why I was not hearing what these people had to say, because I truly, my soul self knew that I am a magnificent divine being, and we're the collective. We are all one.
Yes.
And yet at the same time, there's this, again, when it comes back to that circle of my personalities, these different parts of me, the victim was this woman who was cowering in a shawl that was, she had no sense of who she was, and she was scared, and everything that she wanted to do, she just wouldn't allow herself to do because she had such a lack of worth of herself. And for me to really pay attention to that part of me, which I was allowing to keep showing up in my world, and it attracted energetically people who would dominate that personality. So it was, even though we are direct reflections of ourselves, you can also find people who will energetically match that.
Yes.
And so I
attract that, yes. We attract one or the other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because we're all things all at once. So again, that still is something that's a very complex thought even to think about. But
it
I realize
is, but isn't it amazing the levels as we advance spiritually, the levels that we are held accountable to when it comes to matching vibrations with others and the personal responsibility that we must take for our soul's evolution in terms of being responsible not only to ourselves but to those whom we seek to serve, because life is about service to others and paying it forward and passing it on too, yes?
It absolutely is. And when I am in my meditation and having my prayer time, I call in the ability to be kinder, more generous, more loving to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am doing those for myself first. If I do not fill myself from a place of overflow first, I am totally depleting myself. And that's what I was doing, was trying to give of myself of which I did not have. And it was causing me to continue the same replay. And so this is why when I had all these people that were so open to assisting me and continued to remind me I was this victim, I had to really take the time, David, to sit down and meditate and write and change my very way of being. I am on this journey right now where I am releasing this old sense of self, which is the lie that I had about myself, and recreating
you're becoming the butterfly that's emerging from the cocoon of captivity of self.
Yes, and really for the last 2.5 years, I would say I was in that phase in the chrysalis where I was just the goop. There was no form of any kind. It was messy.
Yes.
It was messy. And I really have to say that I have released a lot of the memories even that have come to me through that, because it was a very, very challenging time, Dave, because I knew that once I released myself from the chrysalis, that I could no longer be that same Darlene that I was, that I was releasing all fear, stepping into my courage, stepping into my path, stepping into my purpose, and really declaring my place and space in this world.
You were stepping into, you were stepping into your true self by connecting to source energy.
Yes.
And becoming all that you can be.
Exactly. And my friend really made me realize that I had allowed myself to dim my light to keep others comfortable, and I reflected on that for quite a while and realized that that's exactly what I have done for the greater majority of, because I just turned 50, David, of my 49 years, that that's what I had done for people, was to go out of my way to be behind the scenes, to make, put them out front, to have them shine. And yet I was dimming mine every time. And what I realized was that if I were to continue to allow my light to be dimmed, that there will be people that will continue to dim it and dim it and dim it until I declare. And I'm using that word declare because it made such a difference when I started voicing that out loud, that, you know, enough, and I'm not going to allow anybody to say who I am, what I'm going to do, the money I'm going to make, how I'm going to dress, how I'm going to be, that I get to be myself. There's only one of me. And, you know, at 50 now, and I'm one of these people as well, David, I am choosing to live to 144. That's my declaration. And so these next phases of my life are going to be the best moment by moment of my life.
Yes. Well, you know, when you get to be 144, I'd suggest you reevaluate how long you really want to be here. Because if you're having a good time and having a lot of fun and still healthy mind, body, and spirit, perhaps you'll choose to live to be 200 or more.
I believe in the possibilities, Dave. I just feel that that is such a possibility these days.
Well, you are totally open. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We are infinite possibilities. We are energy. So I feel that once we truly decide who we are, what we're about, how we're going to live, and come from, like you had mentioned before, a place of love, a place of great intention, that we truly create our world in every level of our being.
Well, may I make a comment? Because I have had a doctor on the show, I don't recall his name, who said that the human life potential is 1,000 years. And it's come to me and has been affirmed by psychic mediums around the world who I've had on my show, that it is indeed possible to live in the body forever if one chooses. However, that means taking incredible care of self at all levels. And I was once told by a sponsor in a 12-step program that the number one goal of recovery was to take care of oneself. And that planted a seed. I wasn't sure what he was talking about. I thought it was to stop drinking or to stop acting out sexually, because that's how I medicated uncomfortable feelings. I used to stuff them. I acted them out sexually. When my beloved sister died, I didn't grieve for her. What I did was I effed my brains out. And so we just lost a caller, unfortunately, but perhaps she'll call back. She's disconnected before, and I just am so aware of my surroundings at all levels, as you are, that I find myself kind of going into a little diarrhea of the mouth. But as I was saying, I was unaware of my feelings. I was told as a child what I should and should not feel, which led me to become ashamed of some of my feelings and to label them as bad feelings when they're simply negative feelings. And I loved what you were saying earlier about embracing the human experience, about allowing the feeling in an appropriate way, I trust, so that it can pass through you, so that you can realign yourself with Source, which is all about joy and love and all things good. And I loved what you were saying about gratitude. I believe gratitude is the gateway to abundance of all good things. And when people ask me how I'm doing, I used to say okay or good most of the time. And some days I'd say hanging in there or surviving, which is really not living. But today I say I'm awesome. Now, it's not to say that there aren't points in the day when I don't feel awesome. For instance, when I was talking with you at the beginning of the show, I said okay, but most of my day has been awesome. I've reclaimed that, and I'm in an awesome place. And I never allow myself to remove myself from that place for more than a few moments. And what I do through awareness is that I discharge the feeling through in an appropriate fashion most of the time, and then I move on. And sometimes what I need to do is express it a little bit at a time and then take it to an objective person to discuss before I might take anger, for example, to a partner, so that I'm not in a place of reactivity and can calmly and rationally explain that what you did caused anger to come up from within me, because nobody can make me mad. If I think somebody's making me mad, I'm giving my power away, and I choose not to do that. So I trust you can relate to that.
That is a key point that you just mentioned, David, and what I felt would be really key to add to that is the judgment that many people have and that I found of myself, that I had a friend of mine who said to me, "Darlene, have you ever hurt anybody?" And I thought it was such a curious question when I was, you know, venting to her about this whole experience that I'd been to that just, you know, was over the top tragic at the time. And I said, "Yeah, I've probably hurt somebody, but it wouldn't be on purpose because I don't have a mean bone in my body." And she said, "Well, outside of that, have you ever hurt anybody?" And I said, "Yeah, I probably have." And she said, "Well, did that make you a bad person?" And I said, "No." And so she said to me, "Well, who are you to judge this person?" And the light bulb went on at that time, and I was going, "Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge?" And who are you to judge yourself?
Who are you to judge yourself as anything other than inherently good and magnificent?
Exactly.
As we both have done in our past.
Yes, and my negative self-talk, David, I have to say, was so ingrained in my way of being that you'll find me pausing sometimes even when I'm speaking here on this program with you, because I have trained myself so greatly to speak negatively of myself. And because I'm an energetic being, that means even when I'm speaking, you know, about my body, and, you know, so I send love to my legs and my body because it's hearing me. And so I'm finding that these are things that, you know, when people see me talking to myself all the time, and I haven't been answering myself yet, but I feel that that's going to be the next level. But I want to give love to myself first. Tell myself that I fill myself full of love. Every part of me. And it's a practice that, again, is not a habit yet, but I'm on my way to making it a habit, because I want to be so purposeful and high intention with myself first. Because I'm not practicing it from my deepest core, I'm not living authentically myself. And I choose to be the example of which I'm speaking to others. And that, you know, it's just like this call that we're having today, David. It's not something that I all of a sudden said, oh, I'm going to speak on a radio program, because if you would have asked me to do that several years ago, I would have said, are you kidding me? Because one of those fears, and what would I have to offer the world and all that. And that was my self-talk at the time. And now I'm like, I've got something to say. I've got something to say.
You sure do, girl.
And we're intuitive, high-intention beings. And I choose to live myself with such high intention and purpose that why not have a call and share a bit of my journey with David?
Well, let's do this for a moment. And I also want, for anybody that's listening who's heard me say right, when I have said there's no right or wrong, what I'm doing is I'm affirming spiritual truth, which Darlene and I are getting in touch with. There is righteousness, which is aligned with spiritual reality. And as Darlene has pointed out, there are indeed many paradoxes in life, and we both have walked through, metaphorically, the looking glass. And we have come to see that this world that we live in, this physical reality, is not just an illusion. It's upside down. And that spiritual truth or spiritual law runs counter to that of the law of man. And so there is right and wrong when it comes to spiritual truth. However, I am not one to judge somebody who might say, this is my belief. If that's what they maintain to be true, I'm not going to say wrong. I'm just going to remain silent, because I'm not going to argue with somebody. I'm not going to find common ground with that person if I argue with them. But if I say right, I'm affirming that you're on the track, because I am seeking to become an ascended master and illuminated. That is my goal, and at this moment in time, as I'm connecting with Darlene, I believe I am fully illuminated as far as I can be at this moment in time, and that everybody is doing the best they can with where they're at. However, the potential is unlimited, and I'd like to talk about what we can do to help other people unlock their lives' potentials. And I would later like to talk about what you're doing now to achieve your entrepreneurial excellence and hold that out as an inspiration to others who might want to follow a similar path or even the same path that has brought you to become very, very financially prosperous. So what would you have to say to those who don't know where to begin? I mean, we've talked about presence and how important it is to train our thoughts and be conscious of them and direct them and take charge of them. And as I would say, actions speak louder than words, and words often follow thoughts, but it is actions that often follow words, and actions speak louder than words. And those are the things that oftentimes the words and the actions we may come to regret. And that's where self-forgiveness comes in, because God does not judge us. We are the ones that judge ourselves. And so we can make ourselves victims to ourselves or to this misguided notion of a judgmental God. So any comments there?
Pretty full question again, David. So one of the things that I would like to comment on with that is all of us are born perfect beings.
Right.
And all of us have this inner knowledge. We're all knowing. We're all knowing because we're all connected. And I believe, and again, this is strictly my opinion, but for people to take the time to be with themselves, to shut off the phones, shut off every type of technology, I don't know if they want to go out and be with nature, but I would really recommend for them as much as possible to touch Mother Earth, ground themselves, and fill themselves with as much oxygen as possible and be present in their bodies. I feel mm-hmm. that so many of us allow ourselves to get busy with stuff that doesn't really matter at the end of the day. And what we bring to the world energetically affects the rest of the world. That's what I really realized when I was mm-hmm. being judgmental or when I was being revengeful or angry, that energy from myself was being rippled out into the masses. So if people want to make a difference out there in the world, which many people are very purposeful, is the sooner that they can take the time to go within and come from a place of joy, because really our only job on this planet is to be in joy. Do things that make you happy. Do things yes. that make you happy. And so that really tells you, David, when you're in alignment with what you're doing or not. So,
again, oh, yes. Well, Joseph Campbell, the great master of the myth, once said to follow your bliss. And how true that is. When I follow my passion, I not only am enjoying my life, but I attract more things to be passionate about. Just like when I appreciate the abundance in my life, more abundance flows toward me. It is, again, it's a paradox. And we live in this paradigm where people think in very limited ways, or where they think in very non-affirmative ways, judgmental ways, negative ways. And that doesn't have to be. We lock ourselves into our own prisons. We create our own hell. There's no such thing as hell except what we create.
I've come to a deeper understanding of that as well, and I feel what I've released is the sense of hell, that I've gone through hell.
Yeah.
And instead focus more on what lesson did I learn from that amazing experience. Now, it's taken me years, David, to say that,
well,
but And again, I'm finding my sense of humor again through it all, because there are no accidents.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And I do want to mention as well that I feel a lot of what is happening with people, including myself. I mean, this is my self-realization of all the things that I was doing. It was my self-betrayal that I was not honoring myself.
Yeah.
You know, the simple statement of do what you say you're going to do. And
yes.
so when I went down to the States to be with this women's empowerment group, I was choosing to become an empowered, inspired person. But every time I allowed this person to take my power away, my body knew it. I
sure.
knew it.
Sure.
And so the more I betrayed myself, the more my soul was reminding me, like my intuition, my deepest knowing knew, and I chose not to honor it on so many levels. It was my self-betrayal. So if I can say to people that, you know, honor yourself, honor your word, when you say you're going to do something for yourself, do it, because that's your word. That's your word.
That's right. And when you don't do that, then you get fodder for beating yourself up. And when I used the word hell, I was using it as a metaphor. I truly agree with you. Every life experience is a lesson and is an amazing experience. And the limited notion of sin is connected to shame. And the original Aramaic translation for the word sin was simply missing the mark. So instead of perceiving oneself as a failure, or even as having one failed, perhaps one could say, lesson, lesson to be learned, lesson learned, or lesson to learn again. Because if you don't learn the lesson, it's going to come back to you and probably in a more unpleasant fashion. And likewise, if you don't learn the lesson in this life, history will repeat itself and you will be brought to charge to once again have to honor yourself, find your way to a place of congruency and authenticity in order to transform what has been negative into a positive. And we now have three callers on the line, so if you would like to make another comment at this juncture, let's do that, and then let's go to the phone lines because there may be people that have questions or would like to make comments.
Absolutely, David. And, I mean, you have covered so much of it, but what I can say from this journey that I am on and continue to be on is the more that I allow myself to be quiet and listen, the more I'm finding my sense of knowing is coming into myself. The quieter I allow myself to be.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. To be in the moment. To be in the moment, to let go of the luggage I was carrying of the past, to be worrying what's happening tomorrow, in this moment. As we do not get the moment again, and I, at 50, really realize how precious each moment is. I'm really understanding how precious everything is, and I'm really choosing to take advantage of the beauty of the world. The beauty of the world, like the leaf, the scent, and the feel of the leaves, everything, the crackle of the leaves when you walk on them, the crispness of the air, the beautiful blood moon we saw yesterday, you know, experiences like that to really take it all in, because it's never coming back again. And that's what we're here to really be here fully.
And every experience is different. Every situation is different. Every moment is new and unfolding, even though they're all happening now. Just like every point in our past, in this life and in other lives, is happening at exactly the same moment in time, and that is the eternal now, which is our spiritual birthright. And the only other comment I wanted to make about joy and staying aligned with joy is that if you find yourself falling off the ladder down into the dark night of the soul or the pit of despair, the tunnel where you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, don't think that you can nor beat yourself up if you can't get to the top rung of the ladder in a single leap, unless you're Superman, of course, because you need to climb the ladder rung by rung. And so if you're despairing, take an action. Call a friend, ask for help. That's a sign of courage, not weakness. And continue to move up the ladder. If you're feeling anger and don't deal with it, it can turn into resentment. So talk to somebody about that. Or if you're feeling sad or depressed, sometimes the best antidote to that can be to call up somebody and see how they're doing, to get out of yourself. Because as we both have affirmed, we're all connected. The point is to just keep climbing the rung of the ladder, doing the next best, choosing the next best thought, feeling, or action that can lead you in a positive direction back to joy, which is your birthright. So would you like to make a comment before we head to the phone lines?
I'm in agreement with that full statement that you made. So I'm okay with us going to the phone lines, David.
Great. Okay. I only know one of the callers. We lost Patricia, but we have Diana, and we have area code 856 and area code 484. We're coming to each and every one of you. First, I'm going to Diana, who is a fan of the show, and I'm gaining more and more fans, and for that I'm very grateful. Diana, good evening.
Hi, David.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? You sound good.
Awesome. I'm awesome. Yes. Say hi to Darlene.
Hi, Darlene. Great show.
I'm glad you're enjoying it, Dan.
This is the week to get in front of the mirror, according to the planet. Because they have a big surprise in about 4 days for the people who are spending a lot of time in front of the mirror loving themselves. Do it as much as you can over the next 4 days, and we're going to see what this planetary surprise will be.
Sounds good. Well, I've heard that human consciousness is evolving at an exponential rate right now. So the more each of us in front of the mirror and work on self-love, the more loving we're going to be to each other, and the more the level of vibration, positive vibrations, are going to increase on this planet.
Yes. But more than that, just for you.
Oh, yes.
But yes, we are evolving.
Yes. Well, you said just for you, and thank you for that. But, we are here. No man or woman is an island. And so many people become disconnected from each other. And so I believe it's so important that when one takes care of oneself and truly loves oneself or is in a point of coming to love oneself, that you reach out to be of service to others, even if it's just to give them a smile,
Oh, exactly. Well, that's the biggest thing that I teach, and it's one of the reasons why spiritual people run away from me, because I'm still teaching you must do for others. It just doesn't make any sense. If you don't, it doesn't make any sense. And if you do, you're going to see the great things that come back to you. So it is there, and you're right about that. But the thing that the planets are doing as far as how you love yourself and how you do your mirror work, what's going to come for you, then of course you're going to want to share.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what yours is going to be or what mine's going to be if we do our work over the next 4 days.
Who knows? The potential's unlimited.
I'm going to share.
There you go. Is there any comments you'd like to make to Darlene? And just to let Patricia know, if you're out there, or if anybody out there is looking for a past life reading, that's not going to be possible tonight. We just have got other ground to cover. And if you would like one, you can call in for a free one on December 11th. I will be doing it. So with that said, go ahead, Diana.
Well, things that I would do if I was working with somebody, because I can see the energy body when I'm doing the tuning fork work, some energetic tuning fork work, is that people who have trapped emotions are going to do well with past life regression. So now I know someone to refer them to.
I'd appreciate
it. I can by pulling out the negativity and refilling it with like the golden aura, but people who are holding on to trapped emotions really need to do that past life work.
So I'm
going to let you go to your other callers because I'm just having fun listening.
Oh, God bless you, Diana. Thank you for being with us tonight.
You.
And thank you for your presence all the nights that you tune in. And always love what you have to share. God bless. Okay, the studio is operating slowly. Is there anything that you'd like to say, Darlene, based on what Diana was saying?
I found it interesting about the mirror connection. I found that very fascinating.
Me too. Well, let's try area code 856. They tuned in 17 minutes and 44 seconds ago. 44 means the angels are with you. Hello, area code 856. What is your name, please?
Hi, this is Laura. Thanks for taking
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, David?
I'm excellent. Thank you. Say hello to Darlene.
Hello, Darlene.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm good. And how are you doing?
I'm great. I appreciate you being on the call. Do you have a question for David and I?
Well, I've been wondering, I develop training programs for a living, and yet I still have experiences with spirit quite a bit. And sometimes I wonder if I'm supposed to be doing something more with spiritual, metaphysical, I don't know. Or if I'm just supposed to, if I'm on the right path, I'm not sure.
You want to take that, Darlene? I have my own perspective, but I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, what I would like to say to you, Laura, is that you actually do know, and
mm-hmm.
it's a matter of you taking that moment and that time for yourself to sit quietly and ask yourself those questions. And I also do kinesiology on myself, so I ask my body what is a yes and what is a no.
Mm-hmm.
And then my body will answer that for me. So those are two practices that I've been doing that allow me, because I find when I confusion is that I'm going into my doubt, which is then your ego, because your ego doesn't want you to leave. Not the ego wants to be in charge. So the moment you start stepping into who you truly are and the path you're supposed to be on, you're going to get resistance and doubt and whatever else is showing up for you. So I would, my personal opinion would be to, again, go to that place of joy for yourself and get in a quiet space and breathe deeply and ask yourself those questions to your inner soul. Get the answers. And it may not show up definitely in a message, but it might be some kind of sign that you ask for. And then, again, to do the kinesiology, because it's with anything. If you ask, is this good for my body, and the body says no, then that's something that I honor. I honor that. So, and David, what would you add to that?
Well, I totally echo everything that Darlene said. I heard the doubt in there, or the question, rather, because I don't believe you were judging yourself. I think you were just asking a question, although it almost sounded like a judgment, so you might want to reflect on that. When you asked if it was the right way, there is no right way. Whatever works for you, because we're all individuals, and we actually have, we have another caller. And Darlene, let me just briefly ask you, can you go past the 6 o'clock p.m. time, your time?
I can. I do have a conference call at 6, but I can come in a little bit later.
Okay, very good. So
what I just wanted
to say is how important it is to never judge yourself and recognize that there is no destination per se. It is the journey that you're on. And that it's so important to honor yourself each step of the way and recognize that you're doing the best you can with what you have, what you know about yourself in the here and now, and that you always have. And likewise, when you reflect back on individuals who may have done you harm in your past, to affirm the same things for them, because forms of abuse, subtle or, you know, right out there, are cries for help. And they are just simply wounded adult children who are perpetrating things that have been perpetrated on them and acting it out in a dysfunctional way. We all do the best we can, and I trust that's what you're doing. And I liked what Darlene was saying about intuition. Develop your intuition. Pray for more intuition. That's what I do. And then just allow it to happen. And you can, as she said, use the body. The body is a wonderful vehicle. And what I do is I ask questions of Source. And what I get are like these psychic chills that run up and down my spine. Sometimes they make me cold, but most of the time they're warm fuzzies like goosebumps that discharge through my crown chakra and spin around. And that is an affirmation that whatever question I ask, even if it has to do with a past life, that I'm correct. And I just love it. And we just, so that's what I'd have to say to you, Laura. And I so appreciate
you.
Your call in tonight. Yes. God bless
you,
dear.
Thanks.
Okay, and please continue to listen, because we are going to talk about what we're both doing jointly now as colleagues, that can provide a means for other transformation at a physical and financial level. So please stay tuned in. And if there are any questions you might have about what we say, hang up and call back, okay?
Okay, thank you.
And then I'll know that you want to talk to us again.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, we're going on to area code 563. We lost another caller. Don't know what happened, but that's just the way it's meant to be. 563 just tuned in, and hello, you're on the air. What is your name, please? Area code 563213, what is your name, please? Well, it's possible that this person did not realize they were in the call-in queue and did not want to talk, and it looks like the call has just dropped. So, Darlene, this has been a wonderful show. Why don't we talk about what we are doing now? And just to let you know, Laura, you don't need to call back. We'll just come back to you again to see if you have any questions, and likewise to you, Diana. Darlene, would you like to share the amazing experience that you're having at an entrepreneurial level and how it's leading you into the gateways of financial abundance and helping you grow younger?
Oh, absolutely. Well, what I can say to the listeners, David, is after this amazing experience in the United States working for this organization, I came back to Canada really to start over. And really started honoring myself by moving to a warmer climate. So I am calling from beautiful British Columbia, Kelowna, which is such a fabulous place by in the Okanagan Valley, right in the vineyards and the water. The climate is fantastic, and my body's just loving it. And when I came back. Well, when I moved here last October, I got a call from a wonderful lady by the name of Sally Arnold, who I had actually met 6 years ago, it'll be 6 years ago in October 3rd, I believe. And she had asked me to attend a event that was being held at the Kelowna Yacht Club, which it had just opened up, to come and hear about this skin technology that I had gotten involved in 6 years ago. And when I got involved with this organization, I had two opportunities that were basically presented to me within weeks of each other, David. And, you know, when you come to that why in the road, and I felt I was following the dream, my calling, and didn't end up that way. And because the lady that got me involved in this amazing skin technology that I used because I absolutely saw a difference in my skin in a day, and because I'm not really a product girl, I realized that, and because my skin is sensitive, I realized that this was something I wanted to keep using. So I kept ordering from this amazing company for 6 years, basically, and forgot about it. Because I love the product, I love this technology. So fast forward, when Sally Arnold had asked me to attend this business orientation at the Kelowna Yacht Club, was I realized that I had 24,000 people in my business and growing, and what was called this team volume of over 9 million points, which I didn't really have a clue what that meant, but it equated to me to about $1.5 million that I had sitting basically in escrow for myself. So after, everything and thinking that I was never going to have a hope in heck of ever retiring, that here I was now having a foundation that was going to allow me to do my philanthropic work, because I really choose to do for the greater good of the collective. And this skin technology is so amazing because it stops, David, one of the two leading causes of aging. One is the sun, and obviously for the sun worshippers out there, and that's why a lot of people come to this part of the country or go to the beaches or their vacations, is they love that sun. But the sun isn't necessarily good for people's skin. And so we see all these people having these aging conditions, not only wrinkles, but age spots and skin that isn't necessarily subtle, subtle. And so the skin technology, what it does is it holds in the body's natural moisture and stops something called transepidermal water loss. So what it does is, you know, when someone breaks an arm, as an example, David, when the doctor puts a cast over the body's bone, over the bone, is it the cast that's allowing the body to do what it naturally does, or is it your body's ability to do what it naturally does?
Right, right.
So.
Oh, you're asking me the question?
Yeah, I was kind of asking you, but not really allowing you to answer, was I?
Oh, that's perfect. Okay, you go right ahead.
Yeah, so the cast is providing that perfect environment to allow the body to do what it naturally does. And that's what this skin technology does, is it's the world's first breathable mask. And it holds in, it's got this microscopic pores in this. It's like a skin, second skin that you roll on. Wherever you put it on, it holds in that body's moisture. And what happens is when you have hydrated skin, is your skin creates collagen. And so what I use as a picture, because I'm a very visual person myself, is when we're born, we have that beautiful, hydrated, perfect skin.
Yes.
And as we age, is we end up being the raisin. And so what we know is that a lot of people, like they're saying by the year 2030, 69% of the population is going to be 65 plus. That's a lot of raisins. It's a lot of raisins out there, David. And
mm-hmm.
These are the population of people that doesn't necessarily want to look old. I mean, look how we're speaking about living into our mid-hundreds. So here is a technology that's really allowing people to reverse the aging process. And it almost sounds unbelievable, but I have
mm-hmm.
to say, using this technology for almost 6 years now, that I haven't aged really a day.
No, you have not.
And
I would just
went out. Go ahead, David.
I would just invite anybody who is looking at the internet to look at the picture of Darlene that should be up, because Darlene is 50 years old and she looks like she's not a day over 32.
Yeah. You should have picked the number 33, David. That's my favorite.
Well, that's what I was going to pick, because that's my favorite number, but I was being kind to you, because actually you look like you're 30-ish. But isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That's the number I had in mind. I should have gone with my intuition. That's the age I want to be. And I was told by your colleague, Allison, that I would look like I was 35. But I'm aiming for 33, and I'm 60, and I don't look a day over 50 now, and I'm growing younger thanks to my using the technology. But please continue.
Absolutely. So what we know, David, is that we're in a time in history where people are wanting to look. It's not that people mind aging so much, because you do get wisdom with that, but people don't want to look
right.
old. They want to look great as they can for as long as they can. And people buy these lotions, potions, topicals, and most people don't even really know what they're putting on their skin, and they're hoping it's going to work. And here we have a technology that is proven, that since I've been around, and again, it's almost 6 years, that there have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of testimonials, not only in that it stops wrinkles, but there are now 47 skin conditions that it assists with, and anything from acne, rosacea, psoriasis, scars, sunburn, baby's diaper rash, cradle cap, bed sores, age spots, 47 skin conditions that we know of and growing that this assists with, because this technology creates healthy, hydrated skin. Healthy and hydrated skin. So this the marketplace that we speak to is people with skin. So the people that are Gen Y, Gen X, they don't want to look old either. So what we let people know is that this technology, we use the term from womb to tomb, that this is good for. So there is a huge business potential around all this, because in a very short 5 years, this company has expanded into 16 countries and growing. And the founders who started this business are known for unique inventions and following trends, and took another company called Slick 50 into 46 countries, took it from 15 million to 350 million in 6 years. So these three gentlemen know what they're doing. Debt-free company, never going to go public. And this is their pay-it-forward company. One of the intentions of the three, Richard Janik, David Dillingham, and Lonnie McKinney, is to create millionaires and get this amazing technology out to the masses, because this was first started as a prescription, and it was very expensive. And they knew just how phenomenal this was, and they wanted everyone to have the ability to get their hands on this because of what it does. So not only does it allow people to have amazing skin, but there's such a phenomenal business opportunity attached to it, David, because so many people don't have a plan B. And things happen in life where people, you know, get disabled. People die. Accidents happen. Things happen. And most people are unprepared. So here's the place where people can come and learn part-time, full-time, or big-time to do this business. And the potential is really unlimited, because, again, we are limitless possibility beings. And I wanted to... I just wanted to mention a website that they can go to, David. So it's bit.ly, that's L-Y, /createabeautifullife. And if they go to that, and there's a longer link that maybe you can post on your show link, your show site, and allow people to click on there and get further information. But I would really recommend, David, that people connect with you, get on this link, and see what we're really talking about, because it is absolutely phenomenal. I'm just really thrilled to be a part of it, and that you and the people that you love and care about have an opportunity to be a part of this as well.
Thank you. Well, I also will include my telephone number for anybody that is interested in either the anti-aging product themselves or exploring the business potential to pave the pathway to financial independence, which can be yours. I've started down that road, and it is the least of my occupational concerns, but I'm achieving some matter of abundance and have found many, many people interested who I plan on following up on. It's just a question of timing because of all the different areas that I'm involved in. And for whatever reason, we've lost our callers, and that's perfectly okay. Everything happens for a reason. But for those of you who are listening to the podcast and are interested, let me put forth my telephone number in just a few moments so that you will have that. And I also will post it under the show description. Let it be known that my show airs on Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. My upcoming guests, all of my guests are amazing. I'm actually booking for February of next year and March, too. I have coming up on October 8th, I have Corby Mitlide. She is a powerful psychic medium. I have Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre on October 12th, who is the leader of Akashic Records. I have my fan, Diana McClintock, who was on the line, who is psychic, and she will be on the show. She's a light worker, as are all of these I've mentioned. And most of my guests are dialogue shows, like I'm having with Darlene. However, I am not usually sharing my own personal experiences. I did tonight, and it's been a wonderful experience to share with you, Darlene. I'm so grateful to have you on the show and to have come to know you and to start what I believe is going to be a beautiful friendship.
I 100% agree with that, Dave.
Thank you. Telephone number is 315-478-1086. Again, 315-478-1086. Best times to reach me are between 3 and 6 p.m. Eastern Time. However, I will return your call within 24 hours. I am responsible, as I believe it is everybody's responsibility to be unto themselves and unto each other. And we could have another whole show just about personal responsibility, couldn't we, Darlene?
That is an understatement, David.
And we didn't even get into the law of attraction except peripherally, and that's perfectly okay because it was a wonderful show. A lot of information was shared. We had 11 callers tonight, which is remarkable. Most of them chose not to go into the call-in queue. And so people were very interested in the show description, and many, many people will listen to this in the podcast. And for that, I'm grateful to each and every one of you. And Darlene, I want to wish you a beautiful good night and all good things, beautiful blessings of abundance of every kind.
And the same to you, David, and thank you so much. I'm full of gratitude for the opportunity to have this time with you, and I look forward to where this journey will lead all of us that are connected together.
Back at you. Namaste. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.